Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Illinois Pork Expo in Springfield, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason at the Prairie Capital Convention Center on the 16th day of February. Coming up during this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and check the weather forecast, too. That with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, Nick Anderson will join us to talk about the impact, financially speaking, of the pork industry and livestock in general on the great state of Illinois as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures were 3 cents higher, and the nearby contract for the corn actually four at 362 3/4. The May at 367, up 3.5, and July at 372. That finished 3.5 cents higher. December contract at 385.5, 3 3/4 cents higher. Soy complex up 6.25 for the afternoon in the March at $8.79. The May at 881.5, up 5 cents, and July futures 4.5 higher. They finished at 86.25. November beans at $8.90 3/4, up 4 3/4. Bean meal futures at 264.40, up 2.40. The bean oil at 31.62, finished 18 cents lower. Wheat futures March contract up 6 cents at 463.5. July at 473.25, up 5.5. And the hard red July at $4.69.5, up 5 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures today finished the February up the limit, 132.95, actually still trading there at $3 even. Still lock the limit up. April at 132.12.5. They're also the limit higher, up $3. March future cattle at 154.52.5, $4.5 higher. That's up the limit. April for the day up the limit as well at $4.50 at $154 even. Lean hogs April contract $70.27.5, down a dime. The May at $75.95, 32.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org, and don't forget to buy your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook. We're coming to you from the Pork Expo in Springfield at the Prairie Capital Convention Center. More from IPPA's Pork Expo in just a moment from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures at $29.11 a barrel. They're down 33 cents. The ethanol futures at $1.38 2/10. That's 6/10 of a cent higher. Gasoline at 97 4/10 of a cent is up 6 8/10 of a cent. And the heating oil at $1.02 8/10 of a cent. That's 4 1/10 of a cent lower. Natural gas on the afternoon at $1.90 and a half, down 6 1/10 of a cent. Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour trading at 16,130 is up 217 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.88. That's up 0.898. And gold futures for the day at $1,205 even are down $34.50. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly cloudy. A high of 36 degrees. Light and variable winds out of the north to northeast at 5 to 7 miles an hour tonight. A 20% chance of snow before midnight. Cloudy and a low of 27. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A high of 36 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 24. The extended forecast for Thursday, partly sunny. A high of 46. It'll be breezy out there on Thursday with a southeast wind at 10 to 15. We'll go to just a low of 40 degrees on Thursday night, and on Friday, mostly sunny skies. We'll go all the way to 62 degrees. It'll be breezy on the day Friday. Southwest winds at 20 to 24, gusting all the way to nearly 40 miles an hour. Friday night, mostly clear, dropping to 37, and Saturday, sunny skies and 55 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're live at the Pork Expo in Springfield on this Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on what happened in the marketplace. That with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Morning, good afternoon, Todd. Well, looking forward to seeing a lot of these same people in Casey on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be a fantastic. I like being on the road. A lot of fun. We won't try to go live from Casey because we'll be up on stage. So I'll pre-produce that program for the Closing Market Report. But we'll do the Commodity Week show from Casey on Thursday of this week, and looking forward to that. What are we going to talk about there? Because there's been some unique things happening in the marketplace. Farmers a little concerned at this point still. However, there are some outside markets that have been influenced in the marketplace, both the exports and crude oil.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing a little better bean export shipments this last week than what we were expecting. That was a good thing that happened today. The crude oil had a real good pop overnight. We sold off rather hard, and we're only down 30 cents here now, so we're coming back and we're seeing a little bit of oomph in the crude oil market. But the stock market and the way the banks seem to got a little sounder footing has really helped us look at things here. So that's going to be a big thing. The macro markets are really affecting the grain prices this year.
When the macro markets affect the grain prices, does it make harder for producers to make it harder for producers to make decisions?
Yeah, it sure does. You know, instead of looking at what supply and demand is just in the grain market or what's going on, it's a lot harder when it's something that happens with a Chinese bank or a Chinese economy that we don't have hardly anything to do with. You know, so that has a lot to do with everything.
And when you look at this marketplace, what are the things that you think will be challenging in the coming 2 months for producers in particular? We may have, I suspect not, weather out of South America, probably not in the U.S., at least that early, although once we get 2 months out, we might have some problems. It's hard to say. What are the things you're looking for in the market that could potentially move it one way or the other?
Well, I think, you know, our planning, are we going to plant more corn or more beans? How many of the acres might not be planted because the prices are cheap? And, you know, remember, we had all those wheat acres that didn't get planted originally. So, and then there's probably a lot of Milo acres or sorghum that's not going to get planted because that market sort of went by the wayside, too. So, you know, what sort of mixture are we going to have? And what is the planting weather going to be, and what's the outlook for farther down in the summer? I know that varies quite a bit depending on which weatherman you talk to on how hot it's going to be this summer.
Turn your attention to the livestock side of the market. Both live cattle and feeder cattle up the limit. Why was that the case today?
Well, I think that basically the stock market being up really, really helped that. As we look at things, the first 2 months of the live cattle up 300 points, and I think the stock market put oomph back in the cattle market. Everybody felt a little more sound about what was going on there. And, of course, after a three-day weekend, Valentine's Day included, probably a lot of restocking of beef.
All right. Hey, I'm looking forward to having you in Clark County at Richard's Farm Restaurant on both the morning on Thursday and in the afternoon. We'll do our Will Ag panel that day, and I'm looking forward to having you there. And thanks to the Clark County Farm Bureau and U of I Extension for putting it forward, and for you for coming over to it, too.
All right, looking forward to it.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities at Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, and he will be in Casey on Thursday with me. If you get a chance, check out all the items that are upcoming, including our March 8th All-Day Ag Outlook. That's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can pick tickets up right now if you'd like at 800-898-1062. That's 800-898-1065, not 2. 1065, or online at willag.org. The cost, again, of course, is just $30, and we'll have a dozen of our analysts over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That is the 8th day of March coming up. We'll talk a bit more with Nick Anderson. He's with the Illinois Livestock Development Group.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're at the Pork Expo in Springfield at the Prairie Capital Convention Center. Thanks for being along with us for the day. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of livestock on the state of Illinois. Nick Anderson is here. He's with the Illinois Livestock Development Group. One of the numbers that has been passed around the tables here at the legislative lunch during the afternoon was developed by your group. It talks about the impact in terms of dollars and cents of livestock on the state. It's about $1.8 billion, first of all, which is a big number. Generates something like $170 million in taxes, about 10 or 11,000 jobs. And some of the numbers are really big depending on which county you happen to be in. For instance, if you're in Cook County, the Chicago area, more than $400 million worth of livestock are passed through that county in some form. How did you and the Livestock Development Group come up with these numbers?
Well, we used an investigative group that went out and did research, the IM plan that's out there in the marketplace. And really, so when people think about livestock, you think about on-foot production, downstate. But people don't realize, and all you have to do is just step upstairs in the conference there to show allied industries, packers, processors, retail food. So there is a line that's drawn, but when you take from the farm gate to the processor, and this is what this data generates, about the impact of not only production agriculture, or on foot, cattle, hogs, pigs, chickens, dairy, milk, all is produced downstate, but it has to be processed somewhere, not only in that county, but further processing. And you look at Chicago, Cook County, that's where a lot of processing comes into play. It also processes a lot of products out of Wisconsin, too. So we get credit for some of that agricultural processing. Go over to Beardstown over in Cass County, big processing in the pork industry. Champaign County with Rantoul. Look at Aurora up in Kendall County, up that direction, Aurora Pack. So that further processing becomes a big part of our agricultural community, and it's really tied to the livestock industry. And that's really what this research has done, is to portray that. So when a legislator looks at livestock or agriculture, it's not just what we're doing out on the farm. It's through all those other industries that we have to get to make sure it gets to the consumer.
So in Champaign County, for instance, let's take that, because we would be at, what, $374, $375 million worth of economic impact, which would include all the way to the wholesale price of the hog. What's involved?
Actually, it's going to go to the out the processor's door. So what it goes into the marketplace, in the consuming market, whether wholesale or retail, that those numbers aren't reflected there. It's really that further processing is that one step past the farm. So when you think about livestock production in Champaign County, there sure is some, but with that plant and Rantoul and some other small, think about mom and pop's locker, that type of stuff, there's a lot of processing there. If you go south of there to Arthur, there's poultry processing and animal processing down that direction. So that's that. For every dollar we spend in the pork industry, there's $2 and $3 turned over in the community. On the dairy side, that dollar we spend turns into $8 or $9, because milk is a higher processed product. It's transported. There's lots of things that go with that. So it's really the impact of livestock and the impact of agriculture is what those numbers should reflect.
Yeah, so these are the livestock numbers in general, not just the pork numbers. I want to stick around with Champaign County for just a second. Do you take into account the food processing plant, the craft plant there in Champaign, Illinois? They certainly are huge users of vegetable oils, which not something that would ought to be out of the livestock side, but of eggs and of dairy.
Now, eggs and dairy would come into that play. That further processed ag and oil would fall into another category of processing in agriculture, but not under the livestock side of things. So I think those numbers are reflective. You can go to that report. DSI out of Iowa has done some studies nationwide, and we can actually take this data and compare ourselves to other states. And Illinois ranks really high in agricultural states across the country. Big impact downstate. And sometimes we pick on Chicago, not being friendly. But if you look at those numbers, we're pretty important to agriculture agriculture in Chicago area.
Yeah, it's and Chicago is important to the agricultural area, arena, to livestock in general, because you're talking about a much larger number out of the Cook County than any other county in the whole of the state.
Well, and when we go back to look at production agriculture in the Midwest, we're in a pretty good spot here in Illinois. If you think about our consumer market in Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Iowa, and all the states west of us have to transport to this area. Illinois is in a sweet spot here for providing some of the largest population in the country here in the Midwest, and we're the closest to it. So what that does is we become efficient with our transportation, our food production, utilizing our local inputs with corn and soybean meal is all processed here locally to feed livestock. So to grow the livestock industry really is not only good for the consumer, but it's efficient and the best use of our resources. So we've got a lot of things going for us. Now, there are humps and hills that we have to get over with higher taxes and labor and some of those types of things, but we support Illinois' economy and the livestock business, and we support the rest of agriculture because livestock is grain farmers' number one customer. And I think that's why you take a look at Champaign County and all the grain that is produced there and its reliance on the livestock industry, not only on the farm, but to that further processing.
Yeah, to that point, one of the things that you've been telling the pork producers here is that in the state of Illinois, the hogs that they produce consume 155 million bushels of corn and 32 million bushels of soybeans in any one given year.
It is pretty amazing, and we've even taken it to another level. And think about the typical 2,400-head finisher that's out there in the marketplace. And we talk a lot to consumers, and farmers always want to talk about their farm, and we raise hogs this way. But what they sort of need to get to is that a 2,400-head finisher is going to produce 320,000 pork chops annually. And there's some producers that were sitting in our annual meeting tonight have been in the business for 50 years. Think about how many pork chops those guys have produced over their lifetime and provided a safe, wholesome, pretty economical product to the consuming public, not only in Illinois, but really the world. And that's how we take good Champaign County grain, put it in Champaign County pork, and ship it not only to our own customers, but really we're connected to the world that way. And that's really our responsibility as livestock farmers to carry that on. It's a big responsibility when you get down to it.
And there aren't that many of them, but the bottom line is that they generally are family farms.
97% of those are, and you know, we think about vertical integration and some of those things, but really it takes a farm and a family. Whether I'm contracted or not, that still comes back to my farm that I'm responsible for, and I've got generations of my family raising those hogs. They might be in cooperation with a Mashoffs or a Cargill or a JBS, but really it takes people to raise animals, and it takes communities to provide the inputs to do that. So we're self-reliant amongst ourselves, and it takes a lot of connections not only to other farmers in the marketplace, but communities that we live in, the environment that we have some impact on, and the resources that we utilize locally.
And finally, if I remember correctly, the Illinois Livestock Development Group is tasked in part with trying to create a better environment within the state for the siting of livestock facilities, whatever those might be. How well are you doing in that process?
We feel pretty good about that. The Livestock Management Facilities Act is the process that livestock farmers go through to permit, per se. We've been on a great pace the last 5 years with growth and expansion in the livestock industry. I tell people you need to sort of replenish your infrastructure 10 to 15% every year, or you get so far behind the curve you can't. The pork industry has done a fabulous job of that. This past year, we did about 125 notices. About 75% of those are hog farms. But the last 5 years, we've seen a real interest in cattle and dairy farms growing, especially on the cattle side that we didn't see a lot of activity. But with new innovation, new price, new efficiencies of feed and having our corn in our backyard to feed cattle, we've seen increased numbers. And to the southern part of the state, we've seen poultry and turkey production increase because of those input costs. And we've got a lot of water that we can water livestock with here in the state of Illinois when you think about California that's running out of water.
And this is part and parcel of being able to efficiently site the livestock producer so that they can meet the regulatory functions of the state and with all of the natural assets the state has, it's a good place to do that. However, sometimes government can get in the way.
Typically, the LMFA helps us provide that. Now, some people don't like that rule, and they sure want to change it. And I think the legislative part of this pork show, we sure want to address that with legislators that make those rules. But Illinois probably has one of the more stricter regulations. You know, we can go to Indiana or Iowa, and our setbacks aren't the change, so are the same. So we have to be a little more tougher because we have other expectations with our state laws than other states do. It gives us a little disadvantage in the competitive size, but we can make up for it in a lot of different ways with good roads and ample feed costs. When you talk about being number one and two in soybean production, those are all attributes that come back to the livestock industry. So we work hand in hand with those folks.
Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd, and great to have you here in Springfield at Pork Expo this year.
Nick Anderson is with the Illinois Livestock Development Group, and we are at the Illinois Pork Expo in Springfield at the Prairie Capital Center. The weather is next.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you this afternoon from the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield at the Pork Expo. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can pick up your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. They're just $30, or you can buy them right now at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. The all-day agricultural outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It is the 8th day of March. We'll run all day long, and we'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts there. Speaking of our regular analysts, we're now joined by Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks so much for being with us. Why don't you take us through the weekend weather that we had, that little winter storm, and what we might expect for the rest of the week, please.
Yes, certainly very wintry across the nation's midsection, and especially the Northeast. Some areas in the Northeast United States breaking record cool temperatures over Valentine's Day weekend. We are going to see some moderation in temperature. There's some good news coming that some of this colder air is going to move out, and we're going to see a little spike in temperature, especially as we get into Friday and the weekend. We're going to have a nice warm-up. Now, it is going to be followed by another cool-down, however, especially as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, some colder air gets released out of central Canada and south again. However, precipitation is not very extensive in this colder air. The heavier precipitation is going to be in the southeast states and along the eastern seaboard.
And then turning your attention to some of the growing regions across the planet, I suppose we should start in South America, where they are harvesting some early soybeans at this point. What kind of conditions are they working under?
Well, Brazil is the wettest area, so any harvest operations there may be impeded a little bit by some rain, especially in the central to southern growing areas. A fairly active pattern, especially coming next week. Argentina, here in the short term, this week looks wet in many areas before turning drier next week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on Illinois Public Media. We're live this afternoon from the Pork Expo in Springfield. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Almond Day. It's also Feast of the Sticky Buns Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, the Ladies' Home Journal began publication. In 1897, P. Walker was issued a patent for his invention of a machine for seeding cotton. In 1909, Richard McDonald was born. He was one of the brothers who founded McDonald's fast food restaurants. Richard also designed the Golden Arches logo. The first McDonald's, by the way, was at 15th and E Streets in San Bernardino, California in 1940. The chain began 8 years later. And today, more than 245 billion McDonald's hamburgers have been served. In 1932, James E. Markham of Stark Brothers Nurseries and Orchards in Louisiana, Missouri, received the first patent for a fruit tree. It was for a peach tree whose fruit ripened later than other varieties. In 1937, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers, a research chemist for DuPont, received a patent for his invention of nylon. One of its first uses was to replace the hog bristles that had been used in toothbrushes. Commercial production of yarn for nylon hosiery soon followed. And in 1948, the first U.S. newsreel aired on television. Broadcast by NBC, the program was sponsored by a tobacco company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, live from the Illinois Pork Expo at the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield this afternoon, getting ready to wrap up our time together. Harry Cooney is here. He's with the folks at GrowMark to talk a little bit about a really interesting marketplace, agricultural energies. Harry, I think we need to start with the outside markets, relatively speaking, the potential agreement that may or may not be taking place with some of the primary oil producers of the world that are also partners, some of them in OPEC, others not. Russia, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all talking this morning. What impact has this had on the marketplace?
Well, that's right, Todd. Hello. It's had an impact that at first traders thought it might be a little bit supportive to the market, but that buck was quickly dashed when I think the realization was that they're gonna set production here. It looks like now they need to still get another couple of other countries on board with it, but the plan going forward is to set production at the January rate, keeping in mind that the January rate, I don't have the exact number in front of me here, but it was a fairly strong number also. So, I mean, we're setting it, but we're setting it at a high rate. What's more important to me is that Saudi Arabia would be willing to look at production as opposed to defending market share. Because if you remember back a couple of years ago now, when the big change occurred there around Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, they made the big change from defending price to defending market share. This starts changing it back a little bit. So it's going to be interesting over time if this type of a change continues. And so I think that's going to kind of be in the back of traders' minds that, hey, Saudi Arabia is maybe changing their stance a little bit here now. We'll be looking for confirmation of that in future sessions or meetings that the Saudis have.
Yeah, so really it's now not about where the spigot is, because that's going to be, if things go through as they suspected, stuck in January, which is at a high level, but at least there's a possibility that production may be curtailed over time, depending on what side of the marketplace you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly right. And the key is that if they have made that change in their ideas, could this beginning start leading to other changes down the road where maybe they would start actually curtailing production? So, I mean, it starts putting the foot in the door of change. And so if you're a trader that has a lot of short positions, you got big money in them and things, you're going to start maybe thinking about maybe taking some profits on some of that. So you could start to see a little more of a two-sided trade in here as we go on out over the next several weeks to several months.
Harry, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Harry Cooney, of course, is with GrowMark, joins us on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You can always find us online at willag.org.